You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida.
I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. I had to think about that for a second. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, May 26th, episode 3192, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Dr. Wendy, I love it when you co-host with me. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love to come on to Horses in the Morning.
I know that you're probably getting paid to say something nice like that. So,
<it's okay. laughs> Oh, yeah, the big bucks.
Well, thank you for joining me today. We're going to talk to Will Grant, and I know you're kind of excited about this. He wrote a book. And it's not quite out yet, but my 2,000-mile horseback journey into the Old West. It's about riding on the Pony Express, so that should be pretty cool. And, of course, you know, really bad ads. But before that, you know, Dr. Whitney and I, we got to get caught up. I haven't talked to you forever. There's so many things to talk about, which mostly none include horses. So hang around for that.
Well, my daily Winnie today is for my dear friend, Heather Schneider, who is also an HRN auditor. And she has two Arabo Frisian mares that she bred to a fancy Frisian stallion and is expecting two babies in the spring.
Oh, my gosh. Frisian. It is spring. Is it
Next spring.
Darn, that's too long to wait.
I know. There's just little black dots right now.
Are you envisioning making these two babies your future driving pair?
Maybe. But Heather, you know, Heather herself, she runs a commercial carriage operation.
Oh.
She does like weddings and those Indian weddings, the Bharats, and she does all kinds of commercial carriage stuff. But she's also a combined driver. And so I'm sure that these babies have driving in their future. Because the mothers and the fathers are all driving horses.
That's so cool. That's so cool. You might have like a pair that get raised together, you know, perfect plans. That's awesome.
And with Frisians, people love Frisians for driving because they don't have any markings. So they all match.
And they're easy to clean, probably a little bit more than scrubbing stockings. Yeah. But they're also made to be driving horses. That's the thing. Have you ridden a Frisian, Wendy?
Oh, yeah. I've ridden a Frisian. My best friend, Karen, who's been on here a couple times, she has Frisians. And when I ride her Frisians, I feel like a superstar.
Oh, my gosh. Except for the fact that they're probably the bounciest, most uncomfortable.
Yeah, they are bouncy, but... Their canters are fantastic.
So I worked for this guy who did, his name is Ramon Becerra. Ramon's Equestrian Entertainment. And he would ride a Frisian and drive a black mini in front. And they did like all these cool things. I'm sure you can find them on YouTube.
I've seen that guy.
So what I was 19 or 20 when I worked for him, and we traveled around, and I would warm up the horses for him, and he would put me on El Diablo, and I would go a big Frisian stallion, and I would have to trot him for 20 to 30 minutes, just like around an arena. And this is all I would hear. No posting.
Not
allowed to post on a Frisian trotting for 20, 30 minutes.
Your abs girl, must have been like abs of steel.
Girl, I had like vet wrap around my boobs. Let's see how uncomfortable we can make it. Yeah. So that's my experience riding Frisians. Granted, I love this horse more than anything in the world, but yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, yes, they're beautiful driving horses, but whew.
I know.
I'm probably going to get a hate mail, aren't I, from Frisian people that love to ride them.
Okay. Yeah, you will.
That's okay.
You didn't say anything about their beautiful hair. That's like the number one trait they have.
I mean, they're the most beautiful horses in the entire world. Duh. Exactly. All right, my turn for Daily Winnie. Let me dig myself out of this hole. All right, well, you never know when you're going to need your veterinarian. And Dr. Wendy, are you doing emergency work these days? Or are you pretty? No.
Nope, it's acupuncture by appointment only.
How much has that improved your existence?
It's awesome.
So if I told you that I needed an emergency veterinarian over here right now because somebody's bleeding out, you'd be like, oh, sorry.
No, I'd be super excited because it's the middle of the day. The ones that you don't like is like you finally make this dinner, right? You spend like whatever. You make this yummy super dinner and you're right about to put the first bite in your mouth and the phone rings.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's when you're self-employed. Like, I guess if you work for a clinic, then you've got scheduled people on call.
Right.
Anyway.
But you know, like the emergencies always happen like when people go to the barn. So like first thing in the morning and feeding time, right? Mm-hmm. Because they might not see them. Not everybody's at the barn all day unless, you know, they're trainers. They're at the barn all day. But a lot of people that just like board their horses or have them at home, they get home from work and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's true. And so you're sitting down to dinner and they're in the barn feeding. They're like, oh my God, Fluffy's clogging.
Right.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. Well, we had an emergency today and I called my vet and she can't come to me, but we're going to be able to take the horse to her, not my horse. So he's going to be fine. It's a minor emergency, but I just love the fact that y'all are available. And I kind of wanted to say this whole vein is just tell your vet how much you love them and appreciate them. I buy like just random gifts for mine. I'd be like, hi,
yeah.
I just want to thank you for being you. I think you're amazing. And we just have to really take care of our veterinarians, even the ones that just do acupuncture by appointment.
Well, we appreciate that.
You know, I've spent a lot of time with the acupuncture needles in the past couple of weeks. I don't know if you've seen my older horse, Duke. He's like 30 and he has a lot of loose teeth at this point. And I took him in for one dental appointment and they pulled the two teeth and oh my God, he was just miserable. Like he fought, but you can't lay him down because he's 30.
Yeah. That's the trouble too. And they're, you know, have some arthritis and they're hard to sedate. So.
Yeah. And so I just, after the experience of pulling the other teeth, I just thought I can't do this to him again, wrench his mouth open, you know, and it was really painful. They said he fought a lot. So anyway, I decided not to do that anymore, but he was having some discomfort eating.
Yeah.
And so I did a series of acupunctures in his face. Basically.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So do you know anything about like dental pain? So what she did, she did all the acupuncture. She did like B12 injections into like where he's like to stimulate his appetite because he wasn't really wanting to eat a whole bunch. Yeah. And so she put needles all over and then hooked up a TENS unit to it and like shocked his face.
Yeah. You know, like with our older horses, you know how his teeth are uneven, right? So it kind of affects his jaw when he's at rest. And you know what your temporomandibular joint is, your TMJ?
Yeah.
So if you've ever had TMJ pain, I mean, that is like excruciating. And so if he can't rest his mouth or he has uneven teeth, you know, when horses grind their food, then he can get like some pain in his TMJ. And sometimes it's like acute pain and sometimes it's just chronic pain, but also in people is associated with headaches. So acupuncture can be really helpful for that because you're kind of relaxing the tendons and the muscle spasm.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. After the three, she said he needed a minimum of three and we'd go from there.
Right.
And after three, he's a different horse, man.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I mean, your brain is bigger than mine will ever be. I don't understand all of the connections there, but I know it works. And so if anybody is wanting to alleviate some pain in a non-traditional way, I would definitely, I mean,
What? Acupuncture releases natural endorphins, which is like the pain relieving, like chemicals, neurotransmitters. Mm-hmm. But also in this case, right, this, what I think most probably, I don't know because I haven't seen him, okay, but this is my best guess, is he has some like muscle spasm in those big muscles of his jaws. Mm-hmm. And also when you're in pain, you tend to clench your teeth more. So it's like this vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you can break that pain and relax the fascia and the muscles there, then it can make them much, much better. And you could also massage his cheeks too. That can help.
Yeah. He gets daily facial rubs. Oh, good. And, but I noticed too, like the big jaw bones, as big mandibular muscles that are over them, they're gone. Like that's how I started to note him. Like his cheeks are like hollow, like a supermodel, you know, like, and all those muscles kind of disappeared.
Well, that also could be because he's not grinding like he used to, because his teeth, like before his teeth were pulled, when old horses get uneven teeth, their jaw locks. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when the dentist comes and tries to slide their teeth back and forth, mm-hmm. and we kind of decide what we're going to do dental wise by, we call that lateral excursion of the jaw. Mm-hmm. And they need that to grind the food.
Mm-hmm.
But when their teeth are uneven, their jaw locks together. And so if his teeth aren't moving, he can have atrophy. The other thing is, and I don't want to panic you, but the other thing is that sometimes that's a sign of EPM.
So, yeah. I wouldn't
worry too much about it.
Yeah. I mean, at this point I've thrown the kitchen sink, you know, I feel like I haven't been ridiculous, but this horse like still gets ridden like 4 days a week, just in a walk, in a halter bareback, but he has a job and he helps me start baby horses and he's a huge part of the farm. And I've had him for so long that I'm like, I just owe it to you to try other things. I don't think his GI tract needs to take a bunch of medicine and all that. And so I was like, let's just try it. And I don't feel like I'm being like, you know, like there's those people that spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on their 17-year-old dog, you know, like I don't feel like I'm being ridiculous, but I'm being reasonable, you know.
No, acupuncture is good. I would put him on, like, make sure he has lots of like alfalfa pellets that you wet down so he can mash.
Yep.
So he doesn't have to chew it. And sweet
he's
potatoes.
On a soup diet pretty much.
Yeah, soup diet. But sweet potatoes are really good for digestion and the microbiome, which is like his hindgut. And you can just make a huge batch of mashed sweet potatoes and mix that into his mash.
Oh, that's a good idea, because he currently gets like senior and he gets the alfalfa pellets soaked. Yeah. And I don't. Yeah. And it's funny because he always wants hay and I put hay in there and he just looked at it like, no, give me my mash. Like, I'm not eating that garbage.
You can only eat mash.
Well, hey, before we get to our first guest, I want to talk a little bit about you and your you're involved in a new sport.
Oh, yes. Like many equestrians whose horses get too old to compete anymore. You know, I wander around the yard and the neighborhood in my carriage, but my horses are too old to go out and about and do anything. So I still feel kind of competitive, and I have this new puppy and I am going to do puppy agility with her. So we've been training that and it's been super fun.
What kind of puppy is it?
She's a golden doodle, a mini golden doodle. I'm a doodle person now, officially.
You've hit that age. You got older, retired horses and you have a doodle and you're doing agility. Doodle.
And she's totally adorable. It was my neighbor. It's my neighbor has the parents. And I saw her on Facebook and I ran down to her house. I'm like, I need this puppy.
Oh, that's so cute. So what's her name?
Her name's Ori.
Ori.
Ori. And Ori is like, there's this video game about this Ori and it's a little white squirrel and it's like adorable, but also means like bright light. So I thought that was kind of cute. And she's all white.
Oh,
and she's
awesome.
Super adorable. And, I brush her every day. She has beautiful hair.
You're like Dr. Evil, like the cat sitting in your lap stroking it.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah. She gets a massage every day.
Oh, my gosh. Have you done an acupuncture on her yet?
No, I haven't. It's just like wild. I took her for a demo. I had to do a talk about massage, like Tuina, Chinese massage. And I took her to the demo and she was like a maniac. So I should have taken the old Jack Russell, but my old Jack Russell is so fat. Like, I hate to take her to like talks where I'm talking about like how to keep your dog healthy because she's like huge and fat and she won't let me cut her toenails.
So she's this like fat little potato with giant claws. You're like, do what I say, not what I do.
Right. It's like you want to take an exercise class with like your instructor being like morbidly obese.
Yeah, I'm not gonna trust what you say.
I know, it's awful.
You're like, don't listen to you. I'm a vet, not a trainer. Okay. But, that's awesome.
I know. What can you do? When they get old, I mean, that's all she likes to do is eat.
I hear probably Ori in the background periodically. But
oh, you can hear her? Yeah.
A little bit. She's just saying hi. She's a spoiled puppy, you know? How old is she?
She's 8 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha. So her and my pup about the same because I think Homer's like 10 months.
I love your puppy so much.
Oh, my gosh. She's so great.
You should do agility with your puppy.
Oh, yeah. Basset hounds are known for their ability to follow directions and be agile.
Yeah.
Is there like a basset hound class?
I saw a video of, I think it was a basset hound or maybe it was a mastiff. I don't know. I saw some video of this agility dog that was like completely unsuitable for agility, but they were adorable doing it.
I've seen the one video because people always tag me in basset hound things where it's a basset hound and there's one that like kills it. Does really good. And then there's another one that sent me that like walks and just knocks over every jump walking through them.
Have you ever gone hunting with bassets?
No. Fox hunting?
Well, no, it's bunny hunting. You go on foot and there's basset packs, right?
Oh, no.
And you go out and it's like the most fun thing you could ever do. So they get like, they have a pack of bassets and you go out and they're like trying to hunt bunnies or whatever. And they just kind of run around. They see a bunny and then they all start barking and then they run and then the bunny gets away and then they lay down and they have to take a break. It's like, it's ridiculous, but it's so fun.
Well, I took Homer to my son's baseball game. He's kind of the mascot. He's got a little jersey and everything. Yeah. And I realized that taking a basset hound, there's a reason people don't take basset hounds places because they suck to walk on a leash. It's like drag him 20 feet and then he pulls you 20 feet and then you drag. I'm like, dude, I can train dogs to like walk on leashes. Not this one.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing.
Well, because they're hunting dogs. You should take him to hunt bunnies somewhere.
He can hunt bunnies on my property all by himself. He and my other bassy go run the pasture. They're like, and then they come back and sleep for 12 to 14 hours. So it's fine.
I know. I love that.
Now, also, you and I are known for ducks and chickens. We're kind of the poultry ladies. How is your menagerie?
Oh, my God. I mean, I have so many ducks. It's not even funny. Like, Kyle is so mad about it, in fact.
What kind of ducks do you have?
This is ridiculous. I have, they're called Anconas. They're like pintos. Uh-huh. So the reason I got so many ducks is I was doing this experiment of breeding for color, right? And like, it only takes 28 days for them to hatch. So I kind of like, it kind of got out of control. Now I have like a million ducks.
Now, are they loud? Because I got some Cayuga ducks at one point, and I had to get rid of them.
Girls are loud.
Oh.
The boys can't quack. Only the girls can quack.
Do the boys do what the mallards do, which is like, a little grunt?
Yeah. They go, wee, 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 wee.
So I'm now the biggest fan of the Muscovy duck.
Oh, I love those.
Oh, they're my favorite. So I've got five or six of those. And then I decided to get mallards. And I was like, it'll be such a cool thing. Like, we'll raise up these mallards. This will be their home. They'll fly away and then come back, you know, kind of thing. They won't leave, Wendy. They've been here for years. And they've bred. And my Muscovy, I talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. One of my Muscovies is an egg hoarder.
Really?
So she gets broody, and I've seen her doing this now, and she steals eggs and like I've seen her rolling eggs out from under other chickens.
Oh, that's cute.
And ducks. And she is, so she was sitting on a pile of like 50 eggs.
Really?
I was like, good Lord. Like, am I going to have 50 of whatever is underneath you? I don't know. Well, I walked down to the coop and I opened the door and two baby ducks came like tumbling out with the herd.
Cute.
And I immediately picked him up. I was like, oh, hey. And then I was like, oh my God, she's going to kill me. Cause you can't go near her while she's sitting on these eggs. She'll murder you.
Yeah.
And no, she didn't care that they had hatched. She was still concerned about the giant pile of eggs. Like,
well,
she was
that's the problem.
On the treasure.
Yeah. That's the problem is like, if they're going to hatch at all different times, then when does she get off the eggs?
Yeah, that was her emotional problem probably in her soul because she just decided those weren't worth it. I might have better ones coming along.
Right.
And ignored them. So guess what happens is I had ducks in my garage.
Like, oh, cute.
And so just now another one of the mallards hatched like six or seven. And so I was able to just now, this is the update, I was able to reintroduce Charles and Camilla to the other group and they're doing well. They're a couple of days older than the other one, so I can still tell them apart, and they've quickly become feral, and they don't remember anything I did for them. They're not grateful at all.
I found that out about ducks. Like, I've had some ducks in the past, but I've just had one that they're super cuddly. But if they go back into the flock, they're like, they could care less about you.
I feel like the other ducks are like talking trash about us.
Maybe.
And then they're like, oh, you're right. She does suck. Like, we should totally run away from her. Yeah. It's that's like Mean Girls, duck style.
They are.
So, yeah. So we've got all the ducks and you've got all the ducks and you have chickens. And do you have
I have geese too. I have Chinese swan geese. They're like mini geese.
How are they
the best
to deal with?
They're super, they are still super cuddly and they're fun. They like just, they walk around the yard real slow, but they are great for like intruders. You know, if anything comes in the yard, like any coyotes or of like stray dog. And then like the UPS guy, if they're in the front yard and he comes in, he like runs to the door and drops the package and runs back into the truck.
Yeah. Geese are scary,
but these don't bite. These are just like stare at you and scream.
Okay. That's good. Cause I raised up, that was a Chinese crested goose or something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he hit of the age where he wouldn't let anybody in. And what was awesome and not awesome, depending on who you ask, is he wouldn't let my mother-in-law anywhere near this property like, at all. She would walk up to the gate and he'd be like, nah! And she's like, I can't come in. I'm like, well, that's what Harry Potter says. What Harry Potter says, Harry Potter did. But then Harry Potter turned on me and he was rehomed with his girlfriend Hermione.
Oh my God. You have great names for your birds.
Well, Charles and Camilla were born the morning. I found them the morning of the coronation. I was like, that's obviously Charles and Camilla. Duh. And Lucas.
Did you have anybody on after the coronation to talk about any of the horses?
So David Saunders, you probably know.
Oh, good. David Saunders came on. That's great.
No, I couldn't because he's like, you know, over in England, like doing important stuff. So we still haven't been able to talk to anybody about it, but I just marveled and on.
It was so great.
And there was like no horse poop on the ground. So somebody was hard at work.
Yeah.
It was awesome. All right. Well, before we get to our first guest, enough talking about all, by the way, how are your horses? Horses good?
Oh, my horses are doing great. Oh, I should have told you about this. I have a really quick story. One almost died because she got like some kind of allergic reaction to like too many bugs here in Florida. Uh-huh. And she's an older girl and she lost all of her hair. All of her hair fell out. It was like having like a massive like rain rod attack, but over her whole body.
Oh, no.
I was sure she was going to die. Because when it first happened, I thought she was going to, you know, get laminitis and die. But she made it through the initial stage. But then I'm stuck with this horse with like just like sloughing skin and hair. And then she was bald. And she pulled through and all her hair came back. But it was like incredible that this horse even made it. And I've never had this happen before. I'm writing up this as a case study for Chinese medicine because we treated her with, in the initial stage, we treated her with traditional drugs. But then in the later stages, we treated her with acupuncture and herbs.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
And a lot of topical treatments.
That's cool. So she's okay.
Yeah, she's totally fine. She's back to her bratty self.
Did you do some allergy testing or whatever to see what she was sensitive to?
No, we didn't. I didn't do any of that. I think it was so acute. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was she's always had like some issue with like sweet itch when the bugs get really bad here in Florida. Mm-hmm. But she loves to lay on the ground, and like her mother did the same thing. She, you know, those horses that lay out on the ground and they look dead.
Yeah.
And it's like super hot and you have to run out of there because you think, oh my God, they're dead. So I think she laid down and got ant bites. I mean, that's what it looked like. So, because we have really bad fire ants here in Florida. And then her body just reacted really badly to that.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad she's better. That's good. Well,
yeah, but she lost everything. All her hair, all her tail, all her mane, everything.
Do you have pictures?
Oh, yeah. I have tons of pictures.
I want to see a picture of a bald horse. I've never seen a bald horse.
And then I, you know, people are putting on the auditor thing about the Rambo fly sheets.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, if I didn't have that. I mean, she was bald. So for one, she was getting sunburnt. But for two, like I live in a little horse neighborhood, right? And people would have been driving by going, oh my God. I like they would have been calling the animal control on me.
And they're like, oh yeah, she's a vet. Don't look at her dog or her horse.
Yeah, exactly. She has an obese dog and a hairless horse.
Hairless horse. She's great. We totally trust her.
Exactly.
Well, before we get to our first guest, we'd like to thank our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Each week, you carefully plan out your horse's training schedule. You work with your trainer to fine-tune his flat work. You school through grids to perfect his jump and set up multiple courses to educate your eye. You enjoy long hacks to keep his mind fresh and body strong. Show day arrives. You take a deep breath as you enter the ring. We've got this, you whisper so only he can hear you. You move as one, sailing over each element in perfect harmony. The feeling you get when it all clicks. It's why we do what we do. This feeling is brought to you by Joint Armor. Joint Armor's complete formula provides your horse with the nutrients necessary to support healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Joint Armor maintains fluid motion and flexibility in hardworking joints. It supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Joint Armor provides high levels of both glucosamine and chondroitin, plus 100 milligrams of hyaluronic acid. Best of all, Joint Armor is affordable. One small jar lasts up to 75 days. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products.
Will Grant is the author of Last Ride of the Pony Express, My 2,000-Mile Horseback Journey into the Old West. And I think, too, Wendy, I don't think people realize the Pony Express lasted only 18 months, and it has had, like, this ginormous impact on the entire American West. I mean, it's like a fabled thing. For this, I didn't realize, too, reading a little bit about the book, this Will rides from Missouri to California to retrace the steps of the Pony Express riders. And back in the day when they were trying to find people to do it, I guess it was so dangerous that it was advertised as orphans preferred. Like, don't do this if you have family, but if you're an orphan, we want you to ride.
If you got nothing to lose.
You got nothing to lose. Come on. Well, hey, before we get to Will, whether you're training or riding the local trails, there's a Wintec saddle for almost every horse and rider combination. The Wintec 2000 All-Purpose is for the riders who want to do a bit of everything. From training to fun beach days with friends, you'll experience total luxury in this top-of-the-range Wintec saddle. Your horse will adore the super soft panels, which mold in and around their muscles for complete comfort. And sinking into the deep seat, your leg will find its natural groove, and your contact and communication will become effortless so you can focus on having fun. Explore the entire Wintec Saddles range at wintec-saddles.com. Will, thank you so much for joining us. Where in the world are you right now?
Well, I'm actually in Littleton, Colorado, which is where I grew up. So,
okay. So you decided that you were going to ride the Pony Express and write a book about it. Are you an orphan, as was preferred?
I'm not an orphan.
That's so you're a daredevil then, I guess. So you actually have done a bunch of rides. I think I saw you did the Mongol Derby.
That's correct. I did the Mongol Derby in 2012.
Wow. Wow. Right. I think that's kind of when they were getting it started. Yeah, that's cool. So what made you want to do this?
Well, a couple of different motivations, but really at the end of the day, I wanted to fill in the map of the American West for myself. You know, I wanted to make a transect of the West, mostly to figure out who lived in the West. So I wanted like a cultural cross-section of all the states between Missouri and California. And I've been a horseman, you know, I've been riding horses my whole life, and it seemed like a nice slow way to travel.
It probably sounds a little more peaceful than the Mongol Derby.
It was so different, you know. So the Mongol Derby was like about 660 miles in 9 days. And my trip was about 2,000 miles in 142 days.
How did you slow burn? Yeah. And not on wild ponies. So that's an improvement. Were these your own horses you used?
I bought these horses specifically for the trip. I owned two horses at the time, and they were quarter horses, and one was too green, too young, and the other was basically a lazy horse. And I thought that the idea of riding a lazy horse across the West was like torture. So I bought one horse, which is a performance bred quarter horse, and he basically looks like a thoroughbred, and he is a walker. I mean, he really got a big motor in him. And the other horse, it was a grade horse that was born in Mexico that had done a lot of sure enough cowboy work. And he is like the most intelligent horse I've ever been around in my entire life.
Gotcha. And
how did you map out your plan? Like, you know, back when they did the Pony Express, the West was like, you know, vast and uncharted. But now, like, it seems impossible to be able to ride that far without having all the highways and cities. Yeah. And yeah.
Oh, they were the worst. The urban areas were the worst.
Yeah.
The best days were like in the middle of Wyoming and Nevada, when it was literally just me and my two horses all day. Mm-hmm. For like, that was the best. The worst was like the 75 mile an hour highways through Nebraska. You know, and I'll tell you one thing. I went through a lot of country that's not necessarily horse country. And so like drivers were didn't realize that maybe they should give a guy leading a horse, like a pack horse, a wide berth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
you were on some you were on roads some of the time then.
I was on roads for a lot of the time. You know, the Pony Express Trail is not really a trail, as it were, until you hit Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly through Kansas and Nebraska, it's all highways, farmland. So I would ride county roads, like dirt roads.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be bottlenecked into like U.S. Highway 36 or these U.S. highways. And then right there with the Union Pacific Railroad.
Oh, gosh.
You know, my goodness. You know, they go like 65 miles an hour. It's like loaded with coal. It's like the biggest thing in the world. The whole earth shakes. The horses certainly, they became so accustomed to it, they didn't bat an eye. But it was a little unsettling at the beginning. So to answer your question, how I planned it, I basically planned 2 weeks ahead of me. Because you can never know about delays or soreness or whatever else. And it's just too big a job. So I planned 2 weeks ahead, more or less, by making phone calls and asking people and relying on a lot of local knowledge.
Now, when you say you relied on local knowledge, where did you sleep? Did you kind of bunk with people along the way, or did you just camp in somebody's front yard?
I never slept in anybody's house. I had this rule that I didn't want to because I smelled like a saddle blanket and I had, my gear, and people would always offer me to sleep in their house, and I never did. If it was bad weather, I'd sleep in their barn or a shop or something. And if it was nice weather, then I would just sleep with the horses. And so a lot of front yards and backyards, and corrals and all this stuff. And I found a lot of these people through like just kind of common sense. Like if you call a large animal vet and you tell them what you're doing, there'll be some horse people working there, and someone will give you a call back and tell you where you could camp or who you might reach out to or the best way to get from here to there type information, you know?
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. So obviously having that many days and that many miles to travel this is probably a broad question, but what thing surprised you the most?
That leading a pack horse, ponying another horse, holding your right arm slightly behind your hip with the lead rope is torturous to like the rotator cuff. I didn't anticipate this, how sore my shoulder would be. And I got over it, but it was like, because you always had to be ready to like turn the rope loose. If the pack horse like stopped to urinate, he would just hit the brakes. You know, I think they kind of had like fun with it. And so, so you can't like wrap the rope around the saddle horn. You always have to be ready to play out. About like pay out 6 feet of rope if necessary, like if a rattlesnake or if the horse trips or something. So there's like a mental awareness that's necessary, and also physical, like you have to keep that right arm back. And this was like really tough in the beginning.
Yeah.
And one thing that I really, really noticed, or that was a surprise to me, was that the sound of the horses, like the walk is a 4-beat gait, so each foot strikes the ground independently. And that should be like an equine metronome. If the horse is comfortable and sound, it should be as steady and consistent as a metronome. And if it's not, then the horse is somehow compensating somewhere, right? Like a limp or any kind of hitch in the get along was a big red flag for me. So I became very attuned to the sounds, the two horses at the walk all summer.
Sounds magical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
cool. You've meditative. Been,
yeah. You've been you grew up in Denver and you've been a cowboy and a horse trainer and all that, but like, are you also a farrier? Like how'd that work?
I'm not a farrier, and I appreciate good work, and I've have nailed shoes on a horse, but I had to find farriers, and that was pretty easy. Like you call a large animal vet, like people can recommend a farrier. And so when we left St. Joseph, Missouri on May 5th, and we arrived in Sacramento, California on September 22nd, and they were in their fifth set of shoes.
Oh my gosh. Well, you think, yeah, I mean,
yeah, we
put
were
a lot of miles on that.
A lot of miles, and we were running out of like it was hard to get the nail holes.
Yeah,
and I had a farrier in Glen Rock, Wyoming, or he was kind of a farrier. He was recommended to me, and I think the guy was drunk.
Oh my god!
And so after he put on one shoe on the front foot, and then put on the other one, and I was like, I think that's probably good enough. This horse can walk to California without back shoes, right? I was
thank you
for your time. I know. And it was like nerve-wracking to watch any farrier, really, because of a hot nail and all this. But
yeah.
I'm not a farrier, no.
Now, Will, you got like rave reviews from famous authors on this book, right? So you're obviously a great writer. How did that process work while you were traveling? Like, how did you have time to write, or weren't you like super exhausted by the time you got places?
I tried to arrive at camp by 3 o'clock every day, 25 miles by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that gave me like a cushion before dark if I needed it. So I could like lean against, I would lay my saddle blankets down on the ground next to the electric fence and write in my notebook. But while I was writing, I took a lot of videos with my cell phone, like narrating what I'd just seen, who I met, you know, why is this significant? How does this fit into the context of the West? And then that was really helpful writing the book, of course.
Even thinking about like cell phone charge. I mean, you had to think of everything.
How'd you do that?
I carried a little battery pack, you know, and I was very frugal with the use of the phone. And I kept it on airplane mode while I would like be recording videos or taking photos. But I was really careful about it because basically, like what my girlfriend says is I crossed the West with two horses, an electric fence, and a cell phone. Because the phone was like critical to navigation, to finding campsites, to finding people. Like there's this app called OnX Hunt, and it's got landowner information for all of the West. And so I could map out 25 miles down the road, and then I would see that John Doe lived here. So I would run John Doe through Facebook and Google and whatever else. If I couldn't find him, I would then do the same thing with the neighbor until I found him. And so my phone was critical for this, for the logistics. And every chance I had to charge it, I would use it. And I would have to, like, in Bridgeport, Nebraska, I had to plug it in at a gas station, sitting there with my two horses at a gas station with my phone plugged in. And, like, just trying to keep my head down because people are like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I would just, like, try to keep a really low profile.
Yeah, that's like a low profile with a guy with two horses at a gas station. I mean, barely noticeable.
I know. That's like my mother actually came to meet me in Julesburg, Colorado to say hello, you know, as I rode through the corner of Colorado. And I was like, Mom, I'm just like a ghost passing through the West, you know, under the radar, just having this amazing experience. She's like, I don't know about the ghost part. I could like see you from the other side of town. Two horses riding down the side of the highway is not exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's talking about you behind your back. It's fine. Last thing before we run out of time, because I mean, I could talk to you for an hour. This is so fascinating. Talk about why you worried about running. So obviously you're going through a lot of just open country and there's grazing animals and wild horses and all kinds of animals. Did you have any run-ins with any animals?
The scariest few minutes of the entire trip were when a Mustang stallion basically was looking to like run off my horses.
Oh my God.
And it was like 60 miles west of Salt Lake City in what's called the West Desert of Utah. And it was a roan horse and he saw me. I saw him first, but boy, he came at us at a flat run and he's like a bachelor. Because in that valley, there are like 400 wild horses and they all hang out in one big herd, which is very unusual. But they're like bachelor herds, you know, that don't have the mares that are kicked out. That's what this horse was. And he came at us at a run and I got off. I dismounted because I didn't want my pack horse to like do the helicopter thing. And suddenly we'd have a wreck and then I would lose my horses. So I got off and I threw rocks about the size of baseballs and lemons. I had filled my pockets with rocks beforehand in my vest and I threw rocks at him and he did like three or four circles around us. And then he finally kind of disengaged. I hit him with two rocks and then he kind of disengaged, but I'll tell you what, it was scary.
Man, did you, again, I say I'm going to wrap it up here, but did you have like a gun with you in case you were attacked by wolves or something?
I had a gun with me as a way to humanely put down a horse in the event of some catastrophic injury. If a horse breaks its leg on a cattle guard, that's it. You got to deal with the problem right now. You know, I wasn't worried about like bears or rattlesnakes or wolves. The Mustangs was a surprise and very unsettling. But one of my horses is so sensitive. The bay horse, Badger, who's the performance bred quarter horse, the thought of gunfire around this horse, I mean, this is the kind of horse that would run from gunfire. So
if you're
going to
shoot, you better be wanting to hunt your horse down for a couple days.
I know. And that was my greatest fear, was losing my horses. And I can say it now because it's over, but I didn't. I managed to travel for 5 months without having the horses run off at night or anything else. So
I'm sure it would have been just like in Dances with Wolves when the natives steal Kevin Costner's horse and they start running away. And all of a sudden Cisco's like, boop, and he just turns around and runs back. It would be just like that.
I mean, that's like my favorite scene in that movie. Yeah.
Well, hey, where can people get your book?
They can find it at Amazon. The publisher is Little Brown. The title is The Last Ride of the Pony Express. It will be published on June 6th, and it should be widely available.
I can't wait.
Yeah, from your local bookseller, from anywhere they sell books.
I have to mention, it's also on Audible because I just pre-ordered it, and I'm so excited. But Will, after speaking to you, I think your next book, you should be the reader of your book because you're great. I love your voice, and I love the way you tell this story.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. My editor advised me that reading your own book, there's a reason there's voice talent in the world, because it can be like a shoot me now kind of ordeal. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, too difficult.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
You'd be great. You'd be great doing it.
Well, have had a fun time talking to you all this morning.
This has been awesome, Will, and let us know when you do your next adventure, because I want to hear about it. I mean, we didn't even get to the fact that you've you've been all over the world too and stuff. Maybe we'll talk to you again about the World Nomad Games, little teaser there.
100%. Let's do it. We're planning all that World Nomad Games stuff right now because it's 2024 in Astana, Kazakhstan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We're definitely going to have you back on. Please reach out to us and our producer, and definitely we want to have you back on, talk about that.
I will.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks, no Will. Worries. All right. Again, it is Will, and the book is Will Grant, The Last Ride of the Pony Express, My 2000 Mile Horseback Journey into the Old West. I can't wait to read it. Will, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It's our favorite time of the week. That's right. Really bad ads. And I love when Dr. Wendy is here doing it with me. And
my favorite. I love really bad ads.
The prizes today. Remember, we give away prizes every month. And this month is spectacular. And I don't have the names. I think next week we're going to give out the prizes. So all the ones sent today up until today are all entered. And the prizes this month are provided by horselovers.com and EcoGold, over $600. Remember, you're entered for the prize if you send in an ad to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You get double the entries if you record the ad into your phone and send it. And then you get triple the entries if you record it in an accent that is not yours. Because misery loves company, okay? One of the prizes is the EcoGold Secure Saddle Pad. No slip, no slide, no problem. You get to pick English or Western, the color you want, and it's $190 value. Oh. This thing is the bomb. I have one. It's awesome.
And our other prize is the C4 gift collection, which includes a belt, socks, and other fun things. a prize package worth $110.
Yeah, they do like watch bands and dog collars and all sorts of cool stuff. Redding Goat is one of the amazing coats from their company. You can find all of them at horselovers.com. And this coat is awesome too. And it's a $200 value.
And then finally, we have the Gatsby Fly Collection that my horse probably needs, but I can't compete for prizes. But they have the fly mask with ears, the leg wraps, the sheet, and the matching neck cover.
You know, you should get those to cover the bald horse, basically.
I know. Well, yeah, that's what I need.
Nobody
to
would
do.
Notice.
I had the mask with the ears, and I had a fly sheet with a neck cover, but I didn't have the wraps. I needed the leg wraps.
Need the legs. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, also submitted in your into the drawing, Adrian, Kelly, Allie, Terry. Sandy sent this one in, and it is the Michigan Beginner Kid Safe Horses Facebook page. Again.
They have their own Facebook page?
There's a Facebook page for everything, Wendy. Oh my it's God. Insane. Okay. ISO. Absolute deadhead. 1 foot in the grave, small horse or pony that would rather die than move faster than a comatose sloth. This saint of a pony would be used for small children and nervous big people who are learning the ropes, would be traumatized by my horses with... That doesn't make any sense, but that's why it's bad ad. The saint of a pony would be used for small children and nervous big people who are learning the ropes, would be traumatized by my horses with functioning brains. This breathing hobby horse can need all the maintenance in the world. 3 times daily soup, great. Special shoes, fine.
Oh, look, this is for your 30-year-old.
I mean, the Duke, except for he's not going anywhere. Every medication known to man and horse, breathing treatments, daily spa trips, an air-conditioned condo, we don't care. If the little angel can tolerate being swooned over, painted, sparkled, and the occasional stroll through the park without invoking the demon pony creed, we will accommodate any need. Our budget is more than nothing and less than a kidney, please. Located in northern Lower Michigan, but we'll be making a trip to Illinois in April.
I had to. This sounds good. I'm going to call them. I have a horse for them.
Do you say that? Well,
a hairless one.
Perfect. You're like, you don't need to do anything. You don't even have to brush her.
Okay. Next one is from Taylor D. Sabatino. Rehoming my horse, 200. Her name is JJ. She is 26 years old, eats constantly. She is broke. She can be ridden, but she is skinny because she's very old. No punctuation. But you know what? When I read this one, I felt sad for this little mare. She's cute. She should go to the people up here.
I mean, here's the thing. You can't have a soul when you're reading these because you want to take them all. And looking at the picture, this must not be the picture they're talking about because this horse looks on the border of founder. It's so fat.
She's fat. But that's what I'm saying. She should go to the Michigan people. She should be doted over.
I mean, it'd be perfect. Jackie sent in the next one. This is a Craigslist ad. Arab/quarter horse gelding, $600 in Bend. It's a meaning organ. I'm sadly having to rehome my amazing baby boy.
Aww.
No fault of his own, my living situation. Docent, allow me to keep him. Vinny is a 14-2 Black Bay gelding. He is a great willing horse who is learning the stages. He is uncomfortable under saddle due to trust issues.
Oh.
He was cowboyed in his younger years. He's been riding a handful of times, and with work, he will do amazing. He has his groundwork. Yeah, exactly. Why didn't you do it?
Yeah.
He has all his groundwork down and will be able to excel in any direction. Because of how nervous he is, I will not allow test drive. That means he gonna buck you off.
That's good. I mean, if you're gonna like scam somebody, that's a great way to do it at the end.
Exactly. Oh, you know, he's just his nerves. You're gonna have to take him home. Yeah. You're just gonna have to trust me.
It's your riding will scare him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not him. It's you.
It's not me. It's you.
Okay, next one's from Liz. Mini pony for sale, $100 from Athens. I know. Mini horses aren't ponies. I get it. It's just a title for attention. You'll survive. Currently he is living in a pony condo, sandwiched between his friend Jack and Jack's baby mama, Jenny from the block. He seems to get along pretty well with both, and from time to time I find him couch surfing in Jack's apartment and have to move him back to his own. I've also found the idiot in a round bale feeder, but we'll blame that on his unending gluttony. Christo is professor of and currently teaching courses in Escape 101, Precarious Predicaments and Invading Capture, 1102, and Intro to Adorability. He will make you an expert roper in a matter of weeks, and you'll learn a plethora of new swear words to use at Christmas. Your patience will be tested, your resolve challenged, but when you get your hands on the little bast, bugger, he's actually not that bad. He accepts a halter, leads, loads, and doesn't kick or bite, even when cornered. He does have the potential to be a nice little pony for someone other than me. He is sound, of course, and could go to work right away. Delivery available within 100 miles of Athens, Georgia, for a reasonable fee.
Dang. Okay.
Sounds like a devil pony.
It does. I just love the, I know. Mini horses aren't ponies. I get it. Just a title for attention. You'll survive. And then the next one is our trailer of the week.
Wow. Yeah.
Project trailer for sale. This one comes from Gwyneth. And this is a, looks like a Craigslist ad, made from 100% American steel.
Oh my God.
If you're not handy, this is not the trailer for you. First handful of cash takes it home, or deposit it in the driveway of your arch enemy under the cover of darkness. No judgment here. I'll throw in the magnetic towing lights so you won't risk paying a fine that is twice the value of this classic towable.
Classic towable.
It's a square front two-horse trailer with, you just get a tetanus shot. I don't know if they're going to clean all the junk out of the inside of it first. It looks to be different types of rusted metal.
Do you think these people actually like think they're going to sell it? Like when they place these ads, I mean, you think anybody comes and buys these things?
I mean, don't like people that are like, I want to make a burrito stand from the back of a horse trailer and they come and fix it up.
You couldn't even make a burrito stand. I mean, I was thinking you could make it into like a goat house or something, but.
Yeah. I mean, if your goats are vaccinated, I guess.
That's true.
Oh gosh, that's fantastic. It's okay. By the way, it's rust and green and white and all sorts of colors, and it does have tires attached, although I'm pretty sure they ain't going anywhere in it.
No, they're pretty much sunken in the ground.
Yeah.
But there's a nice bush hog behind it.
You can hook that up too.
Okay, next one's from James. Gelding. This is an awesome gelding. He is a great ranch horse. He is awesome at roping, dragging, and penning cattle. He is also a head horse. He loads and shoes great too. She was shod on March 5th. She is also great on trails. He will go anywhere you point him without hesitation. Super broken handy. Calls and texts only, please. These are all the videos and pics I have of him.
She does not identify by gender. So. Yeah,
non-binary. That's what they call it now. Non-binary. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. My bad.
So it could be a boy. It could be a girl. It could be anything.
It could be whatever. Whatever she or he feels like that day. Yeah. Okay. Cynthia says, Cynthia sent this one in. This is a Facebook page. Horses in the Sacramento, Auburn, surrounding areas in California. That's a Facebook page. Oh, bless it.
I know.
Gonna have to get this horse. 14 years old gray mare, 14.5 to 15 hands tall, located in Porterville. Rides out great saddles, east, load, in trailer, easy message. If interested, have videos of her.
Well, I mean, this girl can't type, obviously, but look at this mare is actually super cute.
I can't see her from all the mud that is completely covering her entire
body,
though.
Look at her cute little face. And look at how happy she is tied to that steel pole.
She looks so happy covered in mud, tied to a steel pole, standing in 6 inches of mud.
I think it's like a tetherball pole. Remember tetherball?
It just looked like
because it even looks like the rope from the tetherball. Like they just took off the ball and they used it as a tie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sad. God. Okay. Next, from Rhonda. This says, not FS. And there's a cute little pony jumping. Oh, this is from the Ontario Equestrian Connection. This pony needs a job. He is the worst best pony. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Andy is so lazy, you need large spurs and a big whip and a belly full of fire. After he goes, he will try to deposit you on the floor, which can be prevented with a big hit. He would rather eat a bag of nails than do flat work. Enjoys his fitness being ponied or off the side of a golf cart. Move forward to jumping. This pony is perfect. He will never stop. Auto chain, shoe step, can count the lines. You will win at any showgrounds. Require 30-second lunge at each show to have one buck and tell you he hates lunging. Lives on dirt and has found it in the past, being very successfully managed and wears front shoes. Hot Wheels Andy, 12-1. But not FS.
Not for sale. They want to lease it, I guess. Maybe he tries to deposit you on the floor because you're using giant spurs, a big whip, and a sharp bit. I mean, call me crazy.
Well, and also, like, maybe his feet hurt.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
But then why does he like jumping?
Do we know he likes it, or are we just going to take their word for it?
Maybe he's, like, trying to, like, run off so he's forward when he's jumping because it hurts. And then when he lands, he goes faster.
You know, I think we're overthinking it. I think all these things, but yeah, it's, well, Ontario, you can go get it. Final one for the day came from Sarah Beth. Palomino gelding for $900 in Pittsburgh. This is a Craigslist ad. Very pretty Palomino gelding, 7 to 8 years old, 14-1 ish hands tall. He is not as big as this is all one.
You can't. You don't have enough breath to do this.
I don't have enough breath.
You can't do it. It's too long.
Hands tall. He is not as big as I thought he was going to be. And he is skittish. He is built like a gated horse, but I have not seen him gait. I prefer thick quarter horses or TBs. He is supposed to be broke, but I have not tried to ride him. He needs to go. I might consider trades for another horse. Just depends on the horse. And just depends on the horse. If you don't like my price, move on. You must call if interested to see him.
See, this is like the trailer thing. Like, who do they think is going to call on this?
But he's really pretty. Okay. He's just, you know, scared and we don't know. Well, why did you buy this horse?
Yeah. Why did they buy him? And she's never ridden him. Well, so how does she know if he's broke or not?
Thick quarter horses or thoroughbreds. And yeah, this horse is built like a gated horse. I don't know what that means, but then you've never seen him gait and you've never ridden him. How the heck did you end up? I have questions. I need her phone number, Sarah Beth. So give me the number. I have to call her.
I think it just wandered into her yard. She doesn't know anything about it except for it's a Palomino.
It's very pretty.
It's a pretty. Ooh, a Palomino.
You don't even know how old he is or how tall he is.
No, so. And he's like 7 or 8. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle always laughs because whenever I have to do like a pre-purchase exam, I always I had to do one for his friend. We were in Puerto Rico on vacation and his like friend's like, oh, I want you to come look at this horse. I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, let me just tell you right now, you don't want to buy it. Okay. Just don't buy it. Cause these people weren't horse people. So we go and it's in this garage, right? We're in Puerto Rico in a neighborhood and the horse is living in this garage.
Okay.
So we get there and you know, I go and the first thing I do is I look the person in the eye, the seller, as I'm parting the lips to look at his teeth. And I say, so how old is he again? And they always lie. They look in your eyes and lie, you know, and it's always like somewhere between 6 and 8. But but then his teeth are always between the ages of like 16 and 20, especially when they're coming out of a garage in Puerto Rico. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Are you meaning to tell me that somebody that's housing a horse in their garage in Puerto Rico is not 100% honest? That is so weird.
Yeah, I know. And you know what else is super funny? In Puerto Rico, actually, they're all little like Pasifinos. And we went to this one place because the guy wanted to look at this other horse. And he had the seller had a stallion that wasn't for sale. And he had him tied up. And instead of a hay bag, he had like a whole bunch of bananas. And the horse was just standing there eating bananas.
Oh, my God.
It was adorable. It was adorable.
Is that healthy?
Well, I mean, it's probably not that great. But I mean, horses can eat bananas, but that's a lot of sugar for a Pasifino.
Oh, God, that's true. That's true. Well, what's funny to me, speaking of the teeth thing, is, you be on these groups on Facebook that they imparted the like Oklahoma horse connection or something.
Oh, yeah.
And people will hold up the lips open of a horse. And this just happened like this week. And they've still got their like last baby teeth. So I'm like, it's coming four, I mean, it's got its 3-year-old teeth and now it doesn't have its 4-year-old. So it's coming four.
Right.
And then you read the comments. Oh dear God. I mean, they're like most true way to age a horse. The easiest way that you are 100% certain is when the baby teeth are there.
Right.
Like, It's just, you can't get around that.
Oh, you mean they post it to try to ask people how old the horse is?
And it's obviously like the easiest aging.
Yeah, that is like super easy.
Do you know how many people said coming four? None. Oh. Everybody's like, that horse is at least 15. I'll tell you what. You can see on the wear of the teeth that it's got a Galvane's groove coming down. Like,
my God.
Oh, God. And just like it's the easiest. So like baby teeth are like the easiest. And how many people go to Facebook to have an expert? So maybe this horse in the garage in Puerto Rico, they were the ones that asked on Facebook.
Maybe someone aged it on Facebook for them.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I think he's at least 17 years old. If you start to look, I'm like, he's four. No way around it. It's four.
That's what we should do. We should have people send in like those pictures. You should get those pictures and you should put it on really bad ads.
Oh my God. I need to start a Facebook page called Age My Horse and I'll just put baby. Like, here's a foal. Here's a foal's mouth. he's at least 20.
Yeah, he's at least 20. Look, he lost all his teeth. He only has two left.
Oh my God. There's only two there? Woo, he's old as a hill. We have a new business venture, Wendy. All right, everybody, thank you so much for submitting your really bad ads. And Wendy, as always, thank you so much for helping me and being a part of the show. And I appreciate everything.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's wonderful to be with you guys.
Oh, love you, mean it. Everybody have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and gill.